I'm a little bit like Sandra. Many things that I'm going to talk about today, I've learned from people like you. I'm a pretty slow learner, but when Sandy asked me to speak, I thought, well, veterinarian's perspective, I'm going to just talk about which vaccine to use. So we're going to use a little bit of this, and, you know, your veterinarian come, and you're wondering, where's the silver bullet? What can make all of my cows get bred on the first 21 days, and when they don't, it's your vet's fault, okay? So what I've learned over the years is I've got to do a better job of communicating. Sometimes I've come with a silver bullet and said, you know, it's going to be all my responsibility whether the cows get bred or not. But you know what? It's a group effort. And I'd like to point out, recently we had a fire, and this cow in the middle, you'll notice that she's got some scars on her towards the back. She's a survivor. We let her decide to live, and that's her calf. And she had an udder that could produce colostrum. And if you look on the other side of her, her left ear is burned off. And that's what each one of us are. We want to flourish today. And we as producers are in control. So as we want to move through this, I got to thinking, what can I bring to the table? So it's been mentioned that fish at reproduction equates to profitability, which means the sustainable operations. And we all know that today. So you have to have a reproductively efficient female. We've got to have early growth, end product merit. At the end of the day, we're going to add value to our cow herds and capture it. And this puts, but we all have to leave a cow in the pasture that's going to have some ability to reproduce efficiently. So I believe that the producers are in control. Each one of us are in control today. And we do that through four areas, four keys. And I simplify this, and this is going to be talked about over and over today, through genetic choices. It's the choices that we make. You and I are in control of those. I think this one becomes even more and more important. We know those cattle that are docile are going to perform better. And I'm a lot older than I was, and I don't run near as fast, and I want to walk, and I've been hurt enough, and each one of you have been too. But more importantly, those cattle that are tame need to be docile. Nutrition's important. We've touched on that already. And I'll briefly touch from my vantage point some of the important traits of a good nutrition program. And obviously, health program. And so many times we come to the table and say, Doc, give me a health program so all my cows can get bred. And I used to think that was my responsibility, that the vaccination program that we provided will help them get everything bred and bred early. But let me tell you about a time. It was about 25 years ago. I was preg checking 140 cows one day. And in the morning, I preg checked 90 cows. And lo and behold, all 90 of them were bred. I kid you not. All 90 of them were bred. And it was a 60-day breeding season. And these people did a tremendous job. We went to lunch. We had a good time. Always enjoy the fall of the year. In the afternoon, we came back, and I was pregging these 40 cows. And I'm thinking, we're gonna get along good. The first cow was open. The second cow was open. The third cow was open. Well, they all were open. Well, about halfway through, the owner's wife was over there keeping score, I call it. She was about ready to come over and beat me. She thought it was my fault. Well, the good thing about it is this ranch was on a periphery, and I didn't fertility test that bull, and there's only one bull in that pasture. So a lesson can be learned. Seldom do we find when we have low infertility, is it just one problem, though, just like that. That was pretty simple. And sometimes we look for the silver bullet when we have a problem. But it takes all of these four things to have a reproductively efficient cow herd. So the information is available. Here's a slide. It's a very busy slide, but it's a slide that I use every day when I try to think about how can I make an environment where that animal, pardon me, I'll get it. There we go. If we look at this slide, it's by Dr. Chase out of South Dakota. And it's really what we want to work at. So at the end of the day, when we get to this point, where if I get this right, this is when we're breeding this cattle, this animal, and this heifer. And we want her immune system to be as robust and full as possible. But we look back here just shortly after conception, and this animal is starting to build immunity here. So immunity is a lifetime experience starting at conception, and we have to make sure we're making the right decisions to create that possibility. And we do it through many facets, and we're going to talk about all of them today and many of them more in depth than I obviously will. Also, one of the things that I want to look at, make sure we look at, is this white square. That's colostral intake. As you notice, immunity is at a very low level at the time of birth. That animal is so exposed. And it's I belabor that point because as a veterinarian, we look at, why is that calf sick? Is it off a heifer? Is it twin off that heifer? My neighbor just had, he's an older gentleman, I often go over and help him. On Saturday, he had a set of twins born a week ago, and he'd been talking to me about them. The biggest calf off of that set of twins, he was lame. He had a big knee. His umbilicus was big. And it was just a reminder to me, Randall, it's all about colostral intake. Those animals that receive colostrum here are going to actually be more fertile in the long run. And so many times we say, yeah, they're all getting colostrum. It's not black and white. It is a degree of response to colostral intake. And we need to make the environment for those animals to calve, that calf to get up, and nurse, and fill its belly full of colostrum. So we can do that. Those are our choices on how we can make that possible. So I think if you'll take a slide like this and take it to heart, you can learn a lot to say, how can I apply this to my operation? So let's look about cow health. Cornerstone of a herd health program is to know what our BBD status is. When I graduated from veterinary school, the only tool we had was vaccinate. Got to vaccinate for BBD. Well, it was about 15 years ago we became able to test for that persistently infected calf. I took a friend of mine, and I have a friend that we test all their animals, and we started that shortly after that. IHC test was the gold standard, and we could test every animal to determine whether they were a PI calf. One of my first cow herds that we always had trouble, and the guy was going to blame it on my vaccination or the vaccination program. Well, lo and behold, we found a PI calf in 1,600 calves this time of year. We thought it was coccidiosis. We ear notched that calf. He was a PI calf. Ended up the next spring, we decided to test all those calves. There was 16 calves. 1% of that calf crop was persistently infected. So that was a tool that we used at that time. And I contend today that persistently infected BBD is still a problem out there. There's still typhoid Marys out there in each cow herd. We see it and talk about it continually. Just because I bought my calves at Beaver, that's a clean area. Mm-mm. I bought my calves at Woodward or Pratt. That's not the case. BBD is a clustered disease. There'll be 15 herds will be free of it, but then one herd with it. Just this last spring, we had a set of calves, very well managed, vaccinate continually, but they had a PI calf when all their calves got sick after a stressful the time period when we had that snowstorm in western Kansas. They broke. So a persistently infected BBD continues to be a problem, and it's a three-legged stool. You've got to test for it, make sure it stays out of your herd. You got to vaccinate at the appropriate time. And the other word that I kind of yawned at when I was in veterinary school is biosecurity. You got to keep your cows out of somebody else's cow herd and theirs out of yours. We got to have better fences. And in Clark County, Kansas right now, our fences need some help. So you got to know. So here's a big question, and I'm not going to go into all of it. You got to use modified live. You got to use kill vaccine. I think both of those vaccines, by any company we choose, for the most part, can provide the protection that we need when used at the appropriate time and the appropriate place. And it's about timing. I had an opportunity to go to Russia, and I got to tell this story because it brings it home. There was about 15,000 head of heifers developed in Garden City. And the Russians, you had to follow the protocol to the T, because everybody wanted to point the finger at somebody else. So the protocol on the vaccine says vaccinate twice prior to breeding. These heifers did a wonderful job gathering these heifers up. They were vaccinated two times in late when the cedars were put in. They gave them the first vaccine and another time later, modified live. And I don't think it matters what company we use. And I'm not picking on a company here. Those cattle were, then they were bred July the 4th, and it was really hot that summer, 104. Their conception rate wasn't very good. In October, they were put on a ship to Galveston. They were put on a ship for 3 weeks. They were on a ship. So I think that we've added stress to their life, wouldn't you say? And by the way, when they're in the feed yard, they were put through the chute 20 times, even in a low-stress fashion. So there was stress in their life. So the picture is, when we add stress and a vaccination program that would appear to be right, but maybe it's wrong. When they got to Russia in January, the Russians wanted to give them another somewhat modified live prior to calving. They were given two doses of an attenuated modified live. Shortly after there, they had those 20,000 head of cattle, and they started to have early embryonic, or they had abortions, weak calf syndromes, retained placentas, the whole myriad of problems. Weak calves, we found, I happened to show up there and at that same time, and we find IBR rotating through their cow herd. The problem is, it wasn't the vaccine, it was the timing of it, and we have to be careful. So ask your veterinarian, we've got to use the right timing with the right vaccine. And there's a really nice study out of Auburn to show that maybe we should be using, there's an opportunity, once heifers are bred, if we use two doses of modified live prior to breeding, and then following that, using killed vaccine, it's a very safe and efficacious way to do it. I contend it's like shooting a basketball. If I shoot anywhere and it hits the ball, the goal, and goes in, whether it swishes or hits the backboard, it's still 2 points, right? Just because we vaccinate and vaccinate often doesn't mean we get better, more robust responses. I think we have to be careful how we use it and ask ourselves what's the appropriate way. So there's my spiel on modified live versus killed. Got to use them right. Obviously, Vibrio and Lepto still are problems, challenges. We got to do that. And here again, you've got to match. Lepto is a very short-acting immunity. And if you have a Lepto problem in your area, I think that you need to consider using maybe twice a year and timing it when they're going to be exposed. So the information available on our health choices in our cow herd. We touched quite a few bulls. We need to talk about BVD in bulls. Same thing. If you buy bulls, your seed stock producer needs to know that they're BVD PI negative. The other challenge is if your bulls are purchased from a bull test station and they don't test all of the bulls, just because your bull's tested negative, BVD has a unique and a very efficient way of hiding out. If you have 100 bulls in a pen and you have one PI and he's spreading BVD every day of his life, even though those other bulls don't get sick and die or even become sick, if you have a bull, the BVD can cross and get in the scrotum and in the testicle and lay there for 18 months. That's a problem, wouldn't you say? So if you buy bulls, know that they're BVD free. And I test a lot of bulls. And it's almost more important that we know their BVD status rather than feel their testicles. Trick, huge issue. I think that I've discovered an area that we have another area of hot spot of trick. We have to be aware of that. When you buy a bull, buy a virgin bull, buy a young bull, don't go to the sale barn. And I have clients come to me and said, I don't want to keep a bull around all year. I want to lease it. I know many of you, I'm going to step on toe. That's a really bad idea. And it makes me ill, really ill. Did you know we can test a bull one time for trick? If it's present, we have an 85% chance of finding it. Two times we're up to about 90, and three times we're at 98 if we're using a PCR. We can't take those risks. I wouldn't. It makes me very concerned about trichomoniasis. So biosecurity is huge with trick. Know who your neighbors are. Know what their practices are. Trick is a biosecurity disease, and we have to use good common sense. Vaccination, those bulls need to be vaccinated for Vibrio lepto once a year. And finally, the semen evaluation. It's not only do they have the product, but can they deliver the product? Dr. Odie's getting nervous. He thinks I'm talking too long. Docility is important. It's important not to have sporty animals. We know those animals that are wild they cause a problem. We know that slide I showed you about colostral intake, those calves from cows that are tame that will get up and allow their calves to nurse, they're going to have better colostrum. Those calves are going to gain better. They're going to have better production all their life and also be more reproductively efficient. So I like to use this point. That's a highly heritable trait. The flip side of that, 64% is our fault. Think about that. We need to train our people. We need to have good facilities. I go to a place. I don't go because I don't pull that straw anymore. We go to a family operation. Great people. There's 10 people there. We preg check 300 cows in about 4 hours or 3 hours. Everybody has two weapons. They have a little bitty short alley and a terrible way to get them in. Those cattle are wild. Let me tell you another problem with that place. Their calves were shipped on a video auction, and shortly after they were there, they were shipped on a Wednesday. By Sunday, they'd mass medicated all of them. Temperament's a huge issue, and it's our responsibility as caretakers. It's an animal welfare issue. We have got to take responsibility, and that's a leadership issue within each ranch. We've got to demonstrate how to care for animals. We can use genetic choices. Put the pressure on. Use top percentile choices for docile bulls selection. That trait is true. I can tell when those bulls come through the chute what their sires are by what their... I can tell when EXD is in the background. I'll put it that way. So that information is available. It's our choice, and we're in control. Nutrition, there's going to be a lot to be talked about nutrition. From our vantage point, we try to body condition. We cow herds, we characterize those cow herds and help producers to know. So I'm out of time. I'll flip through this. Dr. Arthington, he got plenty of speeding tickets come to Ashland looking at mineral programs. So genetics, it's not good enough to use top 25% CED. We can use top 1 to 2%. Many of our cow herds today calve heifers out in the pasture, and they just go to discover them once a day. Who's there? Heifer pregnancy is a great tool. So here's a producer that put it all together. He's a Protection Kansas. He has a small cow herd of 150 cows. This summer he sold his calf crop. There were 67 steers in his cow herd. 67 steers, they were on feed 139 days. The market that time was $1.19. They sold for $1.32 with a $175 premium. If we look at that, that's $11,000. That's like selling an extra 10 calves, and I contend that he can do that with a reproductively efficient cow herd. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're all in control, and it's how we put it all together. So thank you very much.